And now, Don Blackwell.
On last week's program, we began a study on the subject of baptism from the book of Acts. In that particular lesson, we talked about the authority for baptism, and we noticed that the authority is that of the Lord. We also noticed the element for baptism, and that is that New Testament baptism that is commanded for men today is not baptism in the Holy Spirit, but rather it is the element of water. We're commanded to be immersed in water. Number three, we talked about the candidate for baptism. Who is a scriptural candidate to be baptized? And we noticed that it must be one who has heard the gospel, who has responded by believing it, who is penitent for their sins, that is, they have repented of their sins, changed their mind because of godly sorrow, and then it is one who has confessed their faith in Christ. Only then is a person ready to be baptized in water for the remission of their sins. We want to continue our study today looking at baptism in the book of Acts. We want to begin this particular lesson talking about the action of baptism. What is the action of baptism? Sometimes you hear people in the religious world today say that baptism involves sprinkling. It involves the pouring of water over someone's head. But friends, we want you to notice that the Bible teaches that baptism is immersion. Baptism is a transliterated word. That means it is a word that was taken from one language and made into a part of another language. The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. According to Thayer's Greek Lexicon, page number 94, baptizo means to dip repeatedly, to immerge, to submerge. Friends, this word in its original language never meant anything other than to dip, to plunge, or immerse. And the Bible teaches us that that's exactly what baptism is. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 teaches us that baptism is a burial. The Bible reads, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." John chapter 3 and verse 23 teaches us that baptism requires much water. John was baptizing near Salem, the Bible says, because there was much water there. And again, the account of the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch very beautifully illustrates the action of baptism. Acts 8 and verse 38 says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." And so, friends, we learn from the book of Acts the authority for baptism, the element for baptism, which is water, the candidate for baptism, and we learn the action for New Testament baptism, that is, immersion in water. Sprinkling, pouring will not meet the biblical qualifications for Bible baptism. Number five, we also learn in the book of Acts the purpose of baptism. Friends, the Bible teaches that baptism is for the purpose of washing away sins. You see, man cannot be saved while he is still in his sins. The Bible tells us in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, "And now, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You see, he states that the purpose of baptism is to wash away your sins. And so the Bible tells us the purpose of baptism is for the removal of sins. It said another way in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, there it says that baptism is for the remission of sins. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Now, friends, according to that verse, what's the purpose of baptism? The purpose is the remission of sins. Once again, what causes a man to be lost? Sin does. What does baptism do? It remits sin. It removes sin. So the Bible says baptism washes away sin. It says that baptism is for the remission of sin. But the Bible also teaches that baptism puts me in contact with the blood of Christ. Let me show you this. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says that baptism is for the remission of sins. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus said that His blood was for the remission of sins. In Acts 22 and 16, the Bible says baptism washes away sin. Revelation 1 and 5 says that the blood of Jesus washes away sin. Now friends, what is the conclusion? If baptism is for the remission of sin, and the blood of Jesus is for the remission of sin, and baptism washes away sin, and the blood of Jesus washes away sin, friends, the conclusion is that it is in baptism that I appropriate to myself the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. That's why Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death." You see, friends, Jesus shed His blood in His death, and in baptism, I am buried with Him into that death, and I contact that cleansing blood. And that's the reason that the Bible says that we are raised to walk in newness of life. You see, when I am raised up out of the watery grave of baptism, I am a new man, having had my sins washed by the blood of the Savior. The Bible also teaches that baptism puts a man into Christ, wherein is salvation. Many passages in the Bible teach us that salvation is found in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10 says, "Salvation is in Christ Jesus." 1 John 5 and 11 says that eternal life is in His Son. And so if I'm going to be saved, it will be only if I am in Him, in Christ. And baptism is the final act that places me into Christ. Listen to this passage as it describes the process for us. Galatians 3 and 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You see, a man gets into Christ when he is baptized into Him. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 tells us the same thing. And so, the Bible teaches that baptism is for the remission of sins. It says that baptism washes away sins. Baptism puts a man into Christ. It also teaches that baptism saves us. And that's the logical conclusion. If baptism puts a man into Christ, and it puts me in contact with the blood of Jesus, and it washes away my sin, friend, there is but one conclusion, and that is that baptism saves us. Now, many people deny it, but 1 Peter 3 and 21 gives us the undeniable conclusion, and that is that baptism doth now also save us. Now, that brings us to our last point on the subject of baptism from the book of Acts, and that is the urgency of baptism. The urgency of baptism is seen in our prior point, and that is that a man cannot be saved without it. A man cannot be saved prior to it. And when you look at the book of Acts, you never read about anyone waiting to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, Peter told them on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized. How long did they wait? Verse 42 says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Friends, it's very popular in the religious world today for people to believe that they are saved and to be baptized later and to wait for some period of time before they are baptized. But you will not find that in the book of Acts. You will not find a person being saved prior to baptism, nor do you find people waiting to be baptized. On the day of Pentecost, they heard the word, and the same day they were baptized. In Acts chapter 8, the people in Samaria, we also learn, were baptized immediately. Verse 12 says, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized." In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch gives us another example. They were riding along in the chariot, Philip and the eunuch. Philip was teaching him the gospel, and when he believed, he said to Philip, "See, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized?" You see, he understood the urgency of the message. He understood that I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins. It's evident that that's what Philip was teaching him. And so when he saw water, he said, "What would prevent me from being baptized now?" He understood the urgency. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in prison for preaching the gospel. Verse 25 says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And then the jailer came in to them in verse 30 and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. Now, friends, the Bible describes for us that the setting, the time, was that of midnight. And yet, the same hour of the night, he was baptized. Now, why was that? It was because he understood the urgency of baptism. He understood that he could not be saved prior to baptism, as is so commonly taught in the world today. In Acts chapter 22, in the conversion of Saul, Ananias came to him and found him in Damascus praying. And although Saul already believed, although he was already penitent, and although he was praying, Ananias came to him and said, And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Friends, that's the question that we ask today. What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized. Friends, the idea of salvation now and baptism later is not one that is found in the Scriptures. The idea of waiting to be baptized is foreign to anything that was practiced in the New Testament, anything the Lord has commanded as a proper way for a person to obey the gospel. We read in the book of Acts the authority for baptism, the element, which is water, the subject, one who has heard, believed, repented, confessed. The action is that of immersion. The purpose is for remission of sins, to put me into Christ, to save me by the blood of Jesus. And the urgency, that is, once a person understands the gospel and he's done these things, he needs to do it immediately for his soul's sake. Friends, all of these things we learn from the book of Acts. If you're tuning in to the program today and you've not been baptized for the remission of sins to be added to the one church of the New Testament, you need to know that you cannot have salvation without it.